The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Okay, let me see if I can't upset your stomach a little bit, okay? Yes, I'm doing this on purpose. Perhaps you might throw up a little bit in your mouth. I don't know. We'll see what happens. But I'm just gonna throw some terms out here. These are acronyms to see if you will start to get a little agitated, maybe a little sick to your stomach. A little rage will start stirring up inside of you, perhaps righteous indignation, perhaps just indignation. But let me just throw some of these at you, okay? AG. AG. How about CIA? CDC. Ooh, that's a trigger one. CDC. Or perhaps DOJ. DOE, which would be, well, I'll explain it in a second. DOS. What's that one? FBI. How's that resonate for you? FBI. HHS. Maybe that's your unsafe word, your trigger phrase, HHS. Perhaps FDA. I know this one might get a few of you. IRS. How about that? IRS. Or, especially given the last 2.5 years, NIH. NIH. Or perhaps, if you're a traveler, TSA. Or if you or a loved one has served in the military, VA. How's that make you feel? AG, Attorney General, CIA, you know that. CDC, you know that. DOJ, Department of Justice, DOE, Department of Education or Energy, DOS, Department of State, FBI, HHS, Health and Human Services, FDA, IRS, NIH, the National Institute of Health with Fauci, the TSA, and the VA, Veterans Administration, and the size of our federal government, which stinks. The State Department now clocking in at 69,000 employees. The Treasury Department, get this is funny. The Treasury Department, 86,000 employees. However, ding, 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 ding. Did something go off in your head right there? When I say the Department of Treasury, which includes IRS, 86,000 employees, what just happened last Sunday? Oh, that's right. We're going to double that number and add at least 80,000 more specific IRS agents. No worries there. Department of Defense, 2.9 million. Department of Justice, 113,000 employees. HHS, 79,000 employees. How about this? Are you looking for a new job? Do you like science? Do you want to make some good money? The CDC, they have 11,000 employees, relatively small for the big bloated fat federal government. CDC, 11,000 employees. However, their average yearly salary is $110,000 per year is the average for 11,000 employees. And then at the NIH, you've got 20,000 employees. They only average $82,500 a year, except for one of them who happens to be the highest paid employee in all of the federal government. The federal government pushing past 3.5 million employees, and you're at the top of the heap. How's that feel? You make more than every other federal employee, and there's 3.5 million of them. That would mean that you're the president of the United States, right? Wrong. That would mean that you're none other than Dr. Pope Fauci. He makes the most, the highest paid federal employee in the entire 3.5 million person machine. Is Dr. Fauci clocking in at about $432,000, but that's nothing. That's a pittance compared to all of his copyright type stuff. He's making money hand over fist. Okay, so there's that. Congress approval ratings, while we're talking about it, because the title of today's show is Your Government Stinks. So as I say all this stuff to you, my question for you simply today, and I would love you to call in if you'd like to vent or just share where you're at on this. How do you feel about your government? And I'm talking at the federal level, okay? How do you feel about your government? 866-348-7884. I would imagine a few of you are going to have an opinion on this, which is what I'm hoping. I'm just curious to see how you are generally feeling about it. most of us in this audience are, you know, north of 40, south of 80, pretty mature group, largely conservative, but not exclusively, largely Christian, but not exclusively. How do you feel about your federal government? 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH if you want to relate that specifically to the Trump raid, the Mar-a-Lago raid, and all the other stuff with Trump. That's fine. I'm just curious to see how you're generally feeling right now about your federal government, our federal government, of the people, by the people, and for the people, right? Like Lincoln said. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. So you got approval ratings. Congress clocking in. Wow, this is awesome. 17% approval rating. This is recent, 2022. Congress has a 17% approval rating. A 79% disapproval rating. How about the president? How about Biden? Well, right now, he's got a 38% approval rating overall. This is from Reuters. And a 57% disapproval rating. Now you break that down a little bit. This is fascinating. Amongst white people, 62% disapprove, 35% approve. Amongst non-white people, this is very important for elections, 48% disapprove, 45% approve. So amongst non-whites, that's plummeting for him. That's danger. Community, urban, 46% disapprove, 48% approve. That's that goofy, you don't really understand what the Democratic Party is all about kind of number. Suburban moms, people like that, 59% disapproval, 37% approve. Rural folks, you folks out there, small of mind, right? That's what they think. You're not too happy with him either. And then men, 58% disapprove, 40% approve. Women, 56% disapprove, 37% approve. Okay, so you got that. And then I've got some other articles and stories that I want to share with you about our federal government. But so let me see if I can get one call in here real quick. Let me go to Jennifer calling in from North Carolina. Jennifer, real quick, thanks for calling. How do you feel about our federal government?
I am not happy with them at all. And I'll tell you, I can't decide which department I don't like the least, but I can tell you that IRS is number one because we have not received our tax return from 2020.
Oh, gee. Wow.
Every time we call, we go through 9 to 10 questions, and then right. we get the recording of, oh, sorry, we don't have anything to talk about.
right. Well, rest assured, Jennifer, and I thank you for calling. I'm up against the break. But rest assured, when they add the other 80,000 IRS agents, I'm sure you'll get taken care of, right? But it all depends on how they take care of you. Thanks, yeah. Jennifer. I got to go. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Your government stinks. Our government stinks. CIA, CDC, Department of Education, Department of State, Department of Justice, DOJ, FBI, HHS, the FDA, the IRS, the NIH, the TSA, the VA. Did I not say it loud enough? The CDC, stuff like that. And the CDC, 11,000 employees, average $110,000 per year for those folks. And then I've got all kinds of other things. Biden's approval rating's in the tank. Congress's approval rating is always in the tank, believe it or not. 17% approval rating right now across the nation. 79% disapprove of what Congress is doing. But they don't care, right? They only care if you can actually vote them out. So today, the question for you, and I've got a couple articles I'm going to finish with in the last segment of the show, just to make it even worse, understanding just how broken our government is. I'll get to that in the fourth segment. But we'd love to hear from you. Our government stinks. How do you feel about it? How do you feel about the state of the federal government right now? And if you want to relate that to what's been going on with Trump or anything else specifically, that's fine. Or if you want to be general about it, just the quote unquote, the swamp, whatever you want to call it. Is it completely out of control? Do you have any hope for the federal government? Or are you, hey, Steve, I'm all about state and local now. The federal government is so given over. It's just forget it. Right? Nothing's going to change there. It's only going to get worse. I mean, where are you at with your understanding of our federal government? How do you feel about our government, your government? 866-348-7884. Would love to give you an opportunity to share your thoughts and feelings on that today. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Don. Don, thanks for holding. Thanks for calling. Go right ahead.
Thank you. I know someone has an answer for this whole thing, has the results, what we need to do. Obviously, nobody's happy. course, the communist people. But the thing is that there's someone knows what to do. And actually, I have a solution. I know the answer. And if you get me into a soundproof booth, you and I'll tell you. That's all I can tell you right now.
Is that a spiritual answer, Don, or something material, earthbound only?
A little bit of both, actually.
Yeah, and I think that, and I appreciate you calling and sharing that, and it's a titillating thought, right? Because it is both. Primarily because everything is spiritual. You have to remember that. Okay, everything is spiritual. Everything you see, everything going on, there are spiritual underpinnings. There's principalities and powers, geographic, based on different parts of the economy and different parts of the world, the culture, the government, finance. I think there's satanic forces and demonic forces involved in all of that because the scripture points us in that direction quite clearly. Then there's things that you can actually do, like voting or who's running. Should you run school board races? You know, we had Wing Ng the other day running for school board here in Wake County, North Carolina. And it's both. There, you cannot neglect the spiritual while trying to fix the material. You can't, because what's underneath and around and on top of all the material, what you see is spiritual reality. So you have to engage both. But how do you feel? I mean, it's a big train wreck, obviously. I don't think it's going to get any better at the federal level. I think you have a better shot. Steve Dace, when he was on several months ago, talking about red states are going to get redder, blue states need to get bluer, and you just pick which America you want to live in. I agree with him that it'll lead to a national divorce, but that is what it is. So Florida really is leading the charge there, which is why they've picked up over 250,000 conservative voters down there in the last 2 years. And I think you'll continue to see that happen. And they're just, hey, this is the deal. So you pick which kind of life you want. You want to be in a state that freely kills babies all the way up to the moment of delivery? Then you move to a blue state. If you're against that, you move to a red state. And there'll be some that moderate in between. But mostly it's going to be a red or a blue country. You see that in the voting now. But it's going to get more intense that way. And again, I don't think it'll lead to a national divorce. It could. I don't think it will. But generally, how do you feel about your federal government? 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Erica. Erica, thanks for calling. Sorry to have you on hold for so long. Go right ahead, please.
That's all right, but it's Terica with a T.
Terica. Very good. Thank you so much for correcting me.
And I just wanted to kind of piggyback on what Don was saying, because he said that nobody's happy, but I'm not a communist and I'm happy. I'm happy to be in this country, and I'm also happy to see the state of things, because all it is to me is the truth being revealed. Mm. There's nothing new under this sun or in this country. It's just starting to affect different people. And I kind of look forward to it, because maybe it'll bring in a perspective how many in this country have felt for a long time.
Yeah.
And so it's, for me, it's just, what do you expect? It's one nation that's got so many people from one extreme to the next. There's no way to satisfy everybody. So if we can't feel discomfort with where our government is, then that means we always want it to cater to us.
That's right.
In which case, that's not the kind of nation I want to live in, even if it's uncomfortable for me. So I don't agree with a lot of things that are going on, but one thing I will do is respect the fact that this country is ever-evolving, good, bad, and ugly, and we all get to sit on this phone or this radio station and voice our pains without worrying about our heads being chopped off. And we can focus on that.
Yep. I think that's a great point, Terica, and I think it's so easy for us as Americans, because we've had it so good for so long, to go kind of on the overboard when it comes to criticizing the country relative to other places around the world. Not every place, but a lot of places around the world. This is still the best place you could possibly choose to live, even with all its warts and its problems and its sin. It's still so. And am I proud to be an American? I wrestle with that one. I'm definitely grateful to be an American. And I
well,
think that's the right position.
You got to feel like who you are as an American is worthy of being the definition of what an American is.
Yeah.
And when it comes to things being better or worse than what they used to be, I always say, to who? To who?
Because
I got a handful of family members that would say, well, it's a lot better now than it was 100 years ago. We'll take it.
Yeah.
You know, so
exactly right.
What kind of American are you? And if I'm proud of myself as an American, I'm proud of my multifacetedness, my multiculturalism. So with that being said, I always tell my son, don't let anybody define what America is, because you're the American.
Right.
And me personally, I'm an American and I'm proud. And anybody who comes across me will probably see something beautiful in America through me. And if you don't feel that way, it's probably something that you could find in yourself to fix. And then what can we do about the entity that's a fictitious thing that's just, you know, it's If not America, we are. So that's how I feel, but I appreciate you for giving me the time to voice that.
Absolutely. No, those are great points, Terica, and I really appreciate you calling in and sharing all of that. And that's the one thing about America, right? And that's a beautiful thing and a thing that we need to be concerned with and careful about is we're a nation of 330 million individuals. And liberty and freedom allows you, like Terica, to live out an individualistic life for the most part. But then you have to have the confluence of everybody. Those 330 million people do have to share the country. Right? We have to share a community. We have to share a school. You have to share a workplace. You have to share the roads, whatever. So that's where the founding principles of this nation, which used to be pretty universal in terms of understanding. I oftentimes will relate it to the Tower of Babel. Earlier on in the nation, the principles of the nation, liberty, freedom, justice, which all were imperfect. That's why our Constitution says in order to form a more perfect union. Terica spoke about that. For a lot of people, you want America in 2022 or you want America in 1922 or 1822? Well, that's a pretty easy one to answer. Okay, so there's been improvement and progress. But we used to have kind of a general understanding of the principles that we would generally agree on. But even like equality, liberty, now those definitions are gone. So we don't have a common civic language. Number two, we don't have a common, quote unquote, religious language. Not all the founding fathers were born again Christians. Okay. Not all the Americans in the early days, 1600s, 1700s, 1800s, were Christians, but there was largely a Christian understanding, a Christian language, if you will. And that's gone, which is now it's like the Tower of Babel. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, talking about our good friends who all have acronyms, CIA, CDC, DOJ, FBI, FDA, IRS, NIH. And the IRS really, you know, right now part of the Treasury Department, where they only have 86,000 employees, but they're going to add at least 80,000 more. And the vast majority of those are going to be for what the Biden administration, with their Inflation Reduction Act, called enforcement, right? And so there's a story out of the Epic Times, Florida small businesses fear targeting by an expanded IRS. State CFO proposes four-pillar protection plan to fight back. So Ron DeSantis, under his leadership in Florida, they're actually going to prepare small business owners and people that get attacked by the IRS to defend themselves. And so DeSantis came right out, a press event on August 17th, expressing frustration. What have they done? 87,000 new IRS agents, and they're going after you, he said. They'll be unleashed on American taxpayers. Quote, they are going to go after independent contractors. Uber drivers, handymen, and others are identified as independent contractors and are all contenders for audits, DeSantis said. Quote, they're going to crush a lot of people by doing that. And why do they do that? Because the federal government financial situation is getting so bad. That's why David Fisher at Landmark Capital, landmarkgold.com, always drops into the conversation, the bail-in. So instead of the bailout, the federal government's going to go bail out GM or whatever. In this case, it's the bail-in. So they go in and gain access to all of our assets that are held electronically. This has happened in 12 other countries, by the way. Because things get so bad, what other choices do we have? And then they leave an IOU in your electronic account saying we took $10,000 out of your IRA. You'll get it back, though. But things are so bad, we needed to do that in order to salvage the country. And at that point, what are you going to do? Storm the Capitol, right? So Tulsi Gabbard, Washington elite, posed the greatest threat to democracy. Former Representative Tulsi Gabbard, who's a Democrat, by the way, from Hawaii. She's great. I really appreciate some of her intellectual honesty here. Says that the greatest threat to democracy isn't Trump voters or parents protesting at school board meetings, but, quote, the permanent Washington elite, which has weaponized the government and teamed up with corporate media to intimidate and silence those who dare to disagree with them. And I'll get to that story here in a second. 866-348-7884 if you want to share how you feel about our federal government. 866-348-7884. 7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Clay. Clay, thanks for calling in, buddy. Go right ahead.
Hey, brother. Happy Friday to you. You know, I've been listening to what some of what's being said and shared. I just want to slide off the track for a moment. You know, I don't know if you heard about the deputy that was killed in action last week. And, you know, I know you were talking about the IRS and CIA, but you know what? I went to a 2-hour and 40-minute service for the deputy, and there were 1,600 people.
Wow.
From, you know, and that's part of the federal government. I mean, you know, you're talking about WakeGov. You know, you're talking about different people. I mean, all.
Yeah, deputies and sheriffs are at the state level. They don't report to the feds.
And you know, brother, I don't want to say it's there's a brokenness. I was reading scripture as I was listening to this brother's family and friends, because that's exactly what he was. He was a servant to the service that he did. He was a servant to the Lord. But so many people, man, I got to meet one guy, and I'm looking at this medallion that Director Samuel Pinnica gave me from the CCBI, and it's a honorary identification agent medallion. And I sat there and stood there and prayed and talked to these people, not all of them, but I tell you what, you just see there's a healing. I mean, there's going to be more of that, but the brokenness, it's because of the choices and the decisions that people made.
Sure, always.
Years ago. And I'm thankful for you that you're doing this, because, you know, I'm like I've shared, I'm not a political person and I don't care about it. But you know what? When you have people that are in the positions that they're in, thank the Lord Miss Courtney's running for Congress. I would really like to see the Lord bless her and put her in that position because of the stuff that has been, she said. All these other individuals that you've had on your radio show that are running for the positions that they're running, brother, let me tell you what, the brokenness, if there is a brokenness, it's going to be fixed. God the Father is going to do his will. It says, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I got to jump in, Clay, because I got to jump to another call before I run out of time. But that's the thing that I was trying to say earlier. And I appreciate that you always bring it back to that, is that you can fight in the material world, you can fight in the temporal world that you see, in the political realm that you see, which we're called to, at the very least, pray for these people. But without the spiritual side, you're just spinning your wheels. There's no answer there, ultimately, from an earthly perspective. It's always got to be a spiritual answer, which is why, if I can get solid people that are believers, just because somebody's a believer doesn't mean they're going to be a good public servant. Just because you put a fish on your card doesn't mean you run a good business. But if I can find them and get to know them, then I'm going to put them on. And because those are the type of people that not only do we have what they're able to do in the flesh, but we have the power of the Holy Spirit that's operating in them, which is always the great point that you bring up. I appreciate you calling in, buddy. God bless you. And let's jump over to Trey. We'll definitely have something to say. Trey in North Carolina, thanks for calling, buddy. Go right ahead.
Hey, Steve. How you doing this evening?
Pretty good. How are you?
Good, sir. Good, sir. I just wanted to comment, you know, your first caller's right on track by not being able to tell you on the airways how to solve the problem in the nation. I understand where he's coming from, but, you know, the other caller that came in, I think her name was Erica, made a comment about, you know, what defines, you know, America, you know, as you know, to be an American. Well, America is one nation under God. And America, if you want to know a biblical or a definition of an American, it goes back to being Christ-like. It goes back to being a Christian.
Yeah.
You know, a believer in the sovereign God. And that's where America has failing, because the people, of which the government, all these corruption and the stuff that's going on, they're scared of us. That's why they have to have all these strength in numbers and all the stuff that they're doing, because they're scared of we the people, you know. And it's time for we the people to start getting educated. We need to be knowing what Agenda 30 is. We need to know what Agenda 21 is. We need to know what the United Nations are. We need to know these things, because in ignorance, we're the frog in the pot, and the frog is getting heated up.
That's right.
And it's a comfort road to hell. And all these people get up there, and the Christians and the people in the churches alike, they get up there and they just on their little magic carpet ride, and they're like, oh, it's comfortable here. And, we're feeling good there. And, you know, the frog's still getting heated up, and then whammo. And then all of a sudden, it's going to be too late.
Well, and you use the word ignorance, and that's a big deal, and education, which is why, you know, my classes start up next week. And I'm doing whatever I can to reach the younger generation, those are in high school, and so that they're not ignorant. They have to understand how these things are supposed to work in order to understand when they're not.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And you're right on track. It is ignorance. You know, I've had to get out of my comfort zone the last couple of years, and I've had to get in there and start. Did you realize that Hitler's first good little campaign trail was in a church?
Yeah,
you know, and it started in the church, and people saying, well, we don't want to get involved in politics. Let me tell you something. Church needs to be in politics. The Bible encourages that. It says for God's people not to have an unruly ruler over them, which right. means we've got to get in power. You know, and it talks about stuff like that.
And that's the benefit. And that's to the benefit of your neighbor. That's why I say, listen, God's way works every time it's tried. And if we can get actual Christians who are smart and effective and get them into office, even when people in the public go, I don't agree with that, because if they're trying to implement something that God has said is good, it will work. Maybe not overnight, but it will work. And so you get in there because you have, in our context, 330 million Americans and the opportunity to try to impact their lives for the better. And that's just me loving my neighbor as myself, which I'm commanded to do. Trey, thanks for calling in. Great. It's always great to hear from you. I appreciate you. Let's jump over to Jamal calling in as well. Jamal, thanks for calling. Go right ahead.
Hey, Steve. Appreciate your show. Glad to call in.
Thank you.
That you sent my phone call. Yeah, no problem.
Yes, sir.
Wanted to say about the current state of the government is it seems like they are working against its people, or they want to have some kind of oligarchy to where they are in power, they run everything, and it's going to be kind of like a Russia-esque type government. And the people that are just supporting the government saying, oh, well, everything's going to be okay, everything's going to be fine, you know, trust the government and what they're doing. When does that ever really work in any other country where you just completely trust the government?
Yes.
You know, all you got to do is look towards Russia, China, Venezuela, so on and so forth. You know, we really shouldn't trust anybody. That's one of the beauties of the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
As our friend Dr. Chris McMaster said, if men were angels, we wouldn't need the Constitution. We wouldn't need laws.
That's right.
We wouldn't need law enforcement. So we wouldn't. Well, why trust the government completely with all of your lives?
That's
and then
right.
on top of that, if you're trusting the government, I've said this real fast and get a break, then if they spend all your money, then you don't have any money for social programs.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, incredibly wise words, Jamal. You are a wise individual, and I appreciate you calling in and sharing that. And that's why ignorance and education, those are two big parts of this issue in solving it. And I appreciate you calling in. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back. Oh, a little fun music to go into the weekend. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show as we talk about our failing federal government and the frustration there. And all the while, you know, you speak truth to power, you called it out, which is why the founding fathers and the Constitution enabled us, like with things like the First Amendment, freedom of speech, to push back for a redress of grievances. You can gather 2, 3, 10 million people and have a protest. That's all protected under the United States Constitution. Why? Because they knew. Because they knew history, they knew their own experiences with the king, King George, that power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And so we're going to split the power up, three branches of government, so on and so forth, have a constitution, the rule of law as opposed to the rule of men. And that's how it was originally designed. That's why Lincoln set up a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. Our last caller, Jamal, used the word oligarchy. An oligarchy is a government comprised of a very small, very powerful group of people. That's about where we're at now. Okay? The president, Speaker of the House, Majority Leader of the Senate, and the Supreme Court can pretty much turn the country in any direction they want once they're in power. And that's an oligarchy. Okay, just remember that. And we keep talking about ignorance as a problem, education as a solution, which is why next week, please pray for me. I've got 8 in-person classes, 2 online classes. I teach a 2-semester civics class. I now teach a 2-semester U.S. history class. I teach a 1-semester Christian ethics class. Next week, I have 8 in-person classes, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and a couple of online classes. a total of 153 students, and that'll push me up to about 750 students in the last, this will be year number 11. And now online, so whether you live in the area or not, it's irrelevant. You can take the class online. These are for really 8th through 12th graders, and you can get that information. Steve, are you selling stuff? You saw hawking stuff. Yes, I am. I'm hawking and selling education and the eradication of ignorance in our young people. That's what I'm selling. And if you think that's bad, and you think I want to manage 153 students every week just to make money? Golly, that's ridiculous. No, I'm doing it because it needs to be done. And so if you have 8th to 12th graders, if they're in public school, audit the class. We just added that option. You can audit the class for $129. It's two semesters. That's like 32 classes of yours truly teaching. And we do have a textbook. We got a curriculum that we use through PJU Press. That's all really good. But it's got to have dynamic teaching that folds in what's happening today. What's going on in Congress today? What's going on in the news today? What's going on around the world today? Then you take an increasing knowledge of civics and or U.S. history, and you can start to make sense of people. You put in an operating system with discernment and wisdom, and these 14, 15, 16, 17-year-olds can start to understand what's going on around them. Other than that, it's TikTok and Twitter and the stupid public education system. NobleUschool.com. And by the way, a lot of Christian schools don't do this well either. NobleUschool.com. That's you as in university, right? NobleUschool.com. And you can get to it in-person classes. I still have a few spots here in the Raleigh area and Cary. Then I have online, which is unlimited. And now for you, audit. Okay, you want to audit the class? Hey, Steve, I wish I could sit in on your classes. You can now. There's an audit option. $129 gets you the whole two semester shooting match, all 32 classes, which I put them up the week that I teach them, and I can't use these classes this fall. Next fall, want to know why? Because the news, the world changes, things happen. And I incorporate the news in the day. That's why I'm going to keep on the radio while I teach, which is not the easiest thing juggling to do, but it works. It's symbiotic. And so if you want to audit, hey Steve, I'd love to take your civics class, a refresher for most of you. It's $129, okay? And you'll get access, private access to the online videos of the class I taught that week, civics and U.S. history. So that's available. NobleUschool.com, NobleUschool.com. Or if you have high school students, public school students especially, they're getting the blue pill. Let me give them the red pill. They don't have to do the homework. They audit the class. They just watch the lectures. And I might get them the textbook, too. It would be smart, but got to do what we can do. All right, here we go. Talking about the federal government. A deeper dive into the CDC reversal. Great article by Jeffrey Tucker at the Brownstone Institute. Because they came out just a few days ago, said, yeah, we need to restructure. Really? No kidding. It was a good but bizarre day when the CDC finally reversed itself fundamentally on its messaging for 2.5 years. It would have been fascinating to be a fly on the wall in the brainstorming sessions that led to this little treatise. The wording was chosen very carefully not to say anything false outright, much less admit any errors of the past, but to imply that it was only possible to say these things now. In English, everyone can pretty much go back to normal. That's what they're telling us about COVID-19. Focus on illness that is medically significant. Stop worrying about positive cases because nothing is going to stop them. Everybody's going to get it. Think about the bigger picture of overall social health and the compulsion. Thank you. It's only 2.5 years late. What about mass testing? Here's what they say. Quote, all persons should seek testing for active infection when they are symptomatic or if they have a known or suspected exposure to someone with COVID-19. So not everybody needs to get tested. Oh, what about the magic of track and trace? Here's what they're saying now. CDC now recommends case investigation and contact tracing only in healthcare settings. You mean like retirement places that we missed in the first place? Dummies. Healthcare settings and certain high-risk congregate settings. No kidding. Older people, sick people. Oh, thanks. What about the unvaccinated who were so demonized throughout the last year? Quote, CDC's COVID-19 prevention recommendations no longer differentiate based on a person's vaccination status because breakthrough infections occur. And people, by the way, the more often it would appear that the more often you get the shot and the jab and the booster, the more likely you are to get it. Though they are generally mild, and persons who have had COVID-19 but are not vaccinated, listen to this, this is the CDC, have some degree of protection against severe illness from their previous infection. No, really? Remember when 40% of the members of the black community in New York City who refused the jab were not allowed into restaurants, bars, libraries, museums, or theaters? Can you say Jim Crow, by the way? Now no one wants to talk about that. Also, universities, colleges, the military, and so on, which still have mandates in place. Do you hear this? Everything you have done to hate on people, dehumanize people, segregate people, humiliate others as unclean, fire people, and destroy lives now stands in disrepute. By the way, if you are harmed at all by those mandates, you need to sue your employer, former employer. Sue them. Get an attorney that'll just go after the fees, get a percentage of the fees, and sue them because you were fired or dismissed unjustly. Meanwhile, as of the writing of this article, the blasted U.S. government still will not allow unvaccinated travelers across its borders unless you sneak in on the southern border. That's fine. You might also wonder how the Great Reversal treats masking. On this subject, there's no backing off because that's control. After all, the Biden administration still has an appeal in process to reverse the court decision that the mask mandate was illegal all along. Golly, it makes me sick. The problem from the beginning was that there never was an exit strategy from the crazy lockdown mandate idea. It was never the case that they would magically cause the bug to go away. The excuse that we would lock down and wait for a vaccine never made any sense. People surely knew early on the social, economic, and cultural devastation that would ensue. They just didn't care. If they did not, they should never have been anywhere near the control switches of public health. Badges and bureaucracies do not terrify a virus destined to spread to the whole planet. And not one person with even the most casual passing knowledge of coronaviruses could have sincerely believed that a vaccine would magically appear to achieve something never before achieved in the whole history of medicine. And it's not a vaccine. Let's just remember, Facebook fact checkers, YouTube, all you folks out there, it's not a vaccine because the vaccine prevents you from getting the thing that you're vaccinating against, and it doesn't. So finally, nearly 2 years later, the CDC has embraced the Great Barrington Declaration rather than doing a, quote, quick and devastating takedown, as Francis Collins and Anthony Fauci called for the day after its release. No, they had to try out their new theory on the rest of us. It did not work, obviously, for the authors of the Great Barrington Declaration. They knew from the time they penned the document that it was a matter of time before they were vindicated. They never doubted it. That's because hashtag science. Right, Pope? There never was an exit strategy from lockdowns and mandates, but they eventually did find an exit. Nonetheless, it came in the form of a heavily footnoted and opaquely written reversal, right? That's what we're talking about. Now listen to this. This is really important. All of this gives rise to the great question. What was the point? Maybe it was all a mistake, and now it's gone forever, but that's unlikely. The intellectuals who pushed this project on the world, and i.e. insert demonic forces, okay? Powers and principalities. You have to understand that. The intellectuals and the devil who push this project on the world have a view of the world that is fundamentally illiberal, meaning no liberty. They differ among themselves on the details, but the general approach to technocratic central planning rooted in deep suspicion of basic tenets of freedom, which gets you to, hello, the Great Reset. Go look it up. The World Economic Forum, they have a whole website. They're not afraid. They're out of the closet. They'll tell you exactly what it is, the Great Reset. How many people on the planet have now been acculturated to top-down control, socialized to live in fear, accept whatever comes down from above, never to question an edict, and expect to live in a world of rolling man-made disasters? And was that the point, after all? To cultivate low expectations for life on Earth and relinquish the soul's desire for a full and free life? The answer, yes, that was the plan all along. And to drive down the road to the Great Reset, to completely remake the world, not in freedom and liberty's perspective, certainly not Western civilization, but technocratic, autocratic combination of big business, the ultra wealthy, and government. In order to do what? Control you. To institute their elitist, progressive view of the world, which is to suppress the truth and replace it with a lie. Romans chapter 1. Once again, we're back at Romans chapter 1. And whether the players knew what was happening from a spiritual perspective or not, doesn't matter. They were used for it. And to a certain extent, it worked. And so Satan probably thinking he's got a leg up again, like when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. But hey, spoiler alert, greater is he that is in me and you, if you're a Christian, than he that is in the world. Play for now, but eventually you lose. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.